All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
The clock keeps ticking, Frank. We are inching closer and closer to deadline day. Welcome into a Tuesday, March 5th edition of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, where once again, we will be live for four straight hours, at least four straight hours on Friday morning as it is deadline day. The show, as always, presented by Betano. 19 plus, please play responsibly. The game starts now at betano.ca. Frank, that clock keeps ticking.
It does. We're almost there. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for our show on Friday. I'm starting to put together some notes. Yeah, I'm a doomsdayer, right? So I sit there and I'm like, okay, if there were hypothetically no trades for 4 hours, how would I fill 4 hours on the internet? So just preparing for worst case scenario, I think. I'm hoping it doesn't come to that
point. It will be fine. Honestly, look, people have been asking me all week, give me a reason to be excited about the deadline. Well, I've got 50 players in play on dailyfaceoff.com, and Edmonton, New York, Colorado, and Vegas all haven't done anything yet. If those things, all four of those things happen between now and Friday morning, then I'd say we might be in for a rough one, but I think we've got the potential for some fireworks here.
We are going to talk a little Vegas Golden Knights in just a second. But first, big news yesterday, Frank. I don't know if you saw, there was a New Jersey Devils fan who tweeted at, like, I think it was 3 o'clock Mountain Time, 5 o'clock Eastern, whatever. They tweeted, "I'm going for a nap. I hope when I wake up, Lindy Ruff's been fired." And it was like within 15 minutes, Lindy Ruff had been fired by the New Jersey Devils. But in all seriousness, a big news by New Jersey as their playoff chances continue to slip. Right call or too little too late, or both?
I think too late. I think the right call, but too late. I think when we had reached the theater of the bizarre 10 days or 2 weeks ago, when he blamed the Devils' power play failures on excess media pressure, that was a coach grasping for straws. And I think when you watch this team play really closely this season, they've got a nice collection of talent that had poor attention to detail. And I think when you watch their accountability, some more buzzwords to throw at you, their work ethic, it had really slipped. And I think they were just trying to get through games, get by on their talent, and hoping to really outscore teams 7-6 to win. Now, I know how frustrating it can be when you don't get the goaltending, and the Devils, for the third time in the 5 years since Tom Fitzgerald took over, are on track to be in the bottom three in save percentage, which says a lot. I just think that there's a lot to unpack here, but the coaching change, if this team really wanted a shot and proper runway to get in, needed to happen about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or a month ago, would have at least given you another 10 or 15 games to work with.
Yeah, if you wanted to defend, I suppose, Lindy Ruff, not his fault. The goalies haven't been making a lot of saves this year. I guess you could put a bit of the blame on the poor power play on him and also the rest of his coaching staff. But the Devils sitting here 8 points back of the Flyers, 2 games in hand. 8 points back of the Lightning for the second wildcard spot, 2 games in hand. Is this a sign that they're not waving any white flag, Frank, and they're ready to go ahead of the deadline?
Yeah, I think it was important, not just for whatever they might be able to accomplish at the end of this season, but I think also to maybe set some expectations heading into the summer. I think Travis Green has a real good chance to stay on as the permanent head coach of this team. He's obviously getting the rest of the year to try and figure it out, but that is, I think, the thought process is that he certainly will be a candidate if things go well for the Devils between now and then. And I would say, look, a fair heaping of this blame for this season goes to the roster construction and really the thought process, the gamble that the Devils made in the summer. It's not these forward lines that are the issue. It's the defense pairs. And when you look at this group, yes, saying goodbye to Damon Severson and also Ryan Graves in one summer, that's a choice that some teams have to make. No one could have foreseen Dougie Hamilton, you know, missing the bulk of this season and Jonas Siegenthaler missing a huge chunk of it as well. No, but no team can survive taking those four pieces out of your top six defenders. And even if you're replacing them with special talents like Luke Hughes and Simone Nemitz, who is apparently going to be a healthy scratch tonight in Travis Green's first game, I think it was a lot to ask for a team that really still had a lot of young moving parts.
James Nichols from New Jersey Hockey Now is going to join us in a little bit for our big segment. We'll talk a bit more about Ruff and a bit about the Devils' potential deadline plans leading up to Friday. The Devils struggling right now. Another team that's spiraling is the Vegas Golden Knights out west, Frank. They drop games back-to-back to Buffalo and Columbus, not exactly top tier opponents. It's not looking good for Vegas. They're now by points percentage sitting in a wild card spot in the Western Conference. Is this just a team that ran through a rash of injuries and kind of ran out of gas and an ability to fight through it? Or are there legitimate concerns with the way this team is looking right now?
I tend to think it's more the former, and this has got to be one of the most bizarre regular seasons that a team has had in a while. Think about basically the undefeated run that they started their Stanley Cup defense with in the beginning of the year. What were they, 11-0-1, yeah, something like that? And to think that this is the spot that this team is in now, potentially getting passed by the LA Kings for third in the Pacific Division, I'm not saying it's likely, but they're right there. And I tend to be a believer in the long haul of the Golden Knights when you consider all the things that have fallen apart this season. They didn't have Aiden Hill for a while. Shea Theodore was gone for a huge chunk of the year. Jack Eichel missed a lot of time. Now you've got your heart and soul and Mark Stone out of the lineup, which to me, again, further underlines and highlights that this team is not, there are no cap shenanigans here. The Golden Knights would absolutely love to have Mark Stone in their lineup right now and for the beginning of the playoffs. Don't know if that's going to happen. They've got $6.3 million in deadline space, and they're in a spot where they've got a lot of things to tinker with as we get between now and Friday at 3 p.m., always one of the most aggressive teams in the league. But I think this team, of what you see in the Stanley Cup playoffs, they will be much different and look and feel a lot different to whoever they're going up against, still very likely the Oilers.
Yeah, I'm not that concerned about this stretch from a Golden Knights perspective. If you're a believer in the fancy stats, they've had a higher expected goals than their opponent at 5-on-5 in four of these last five games, in which they've lost four of the five as well. So I tend to think at some point they'll bounce back. One thing working against them, their power play is 26th in the NHL since the start of February. Getting Jack Eichel back in the lineup should help boost your power play a bit. But I also want to
tell you, well, I was going to say, not to interrupt you, I'll tell you what is is not going to work is the way the Golden Knights lost puck battles the last couple nights. That part has been concerning, is that the one thing you can control outside of injuries is work rate and work ethic. And the fact that you got your doors blown off in both Buffalo and Columbus is highly alarming, but I'd imagine Bruce Cassidy will sort that out.
Yeah. So I guess to wrap up this segment, Frank, the little stretcher, only two wins in their last 10 games. It's not making Kelly McCrimmon any less of a buyer, is it?
No, I think when this team is fully assembled and healthy, that they're as good as anyone in the West and can compete. And I think that's how they're looking at it.
Yeah, I know my co-host on ON Every Day, Liam Horbin, brought up a good point when everyone was crying foul about the Mark Stone thing. He was like, yeah, sure, you get the LTIR space, but you also don't have Mark Stone. And that is like a massive piece
Huge.
To take out of this lineup. So I know, again, some it looks suspect at times, but no team is just sitting there and going, we would like to lose our best, second best forward, however you want to categorize it, for the rest of the regular season. Let's get to today's deadline countdown article, a new story every day up at Daily Faceoff. And they're only getting spicier as we continue to crawl closer to deadline day. Today's piece, Frank, is all about Pavel Buchnevich. And I think when you look at the season he's having, the quality of player he is, the contract, the term on the contract, I think he has the chance to be, or he will be, the most impactful player moved at this year's deadline, fair or foul.
Well, Jake Guentzel would have a lot to say about that. But me personally, this would be the guy, if I were, you know, in charge of a Stanley Cup team that had an opening in their top six, this would be the guy I'd be going after. I love that he's not a rental. I love that next year at his cap hit is just $5.8 million. So if you're going to spend the assets, at least get a couple playoff runs out of him. And I don't really care what happens after that. Let him go to free agency. Let him walk. If you feel the need to keep him and pony up the $8 million, be my guest. But in the meantime, acquisition cost, I think he's absolutely worth what the St. Louis Blues are asking, which is basically two first round picks, or a first round pick plus first round value, meaning a recent first round pick. So I think it starts there. I think they are in a spot where, look, come knock my socks off is essentially what Doug Armstrong has said. I just think in the back of his mind, Doug Armstrong knows that he's not going to be re-signing this guy when it gets to a year from now, or potentially as soon as this summer. And that whether it's now or whether it's in the summer or next year at the deadline, that he's going to be moving Pavel Buchnevich. And it's really just a matter of when and for what. And if you could possibly maximize that, now's the time to do it.
So obviously a premium asset that'll cost a premium amount of pieces going the other way. Which teams do you think could pony up the assets for this guy?
So just for some clarity too and perspective, because I think one thing that we're missing is Pavel Buchnevich. Okay, his numbers are pretty decent, but what is he? Over the last three seasons, he has 0.98 points per game. So essentially 1 point per game that he's played since he arrived in St. Louis. Do you know that's tied for 35th in the league over that span? And do you know the guys that he's tied with? Brad Marchand, Clayton Keller, and Dylan Larkin. Three pretty, pretty important pieces to their teams. And so I'll have the full breakdown today on dailyfaceoff.com, but to look at the teams that could be in the mix, I mean, he makes sense for all these teams. I think Carolina, they're always looking for difference makers. The fact that he's not a rental, that checks a box. The Red Wings, I think that's another team that could be an interesting fit, as I think Steve Yzerman is one of the true wild cards of this deadline. The Oilers, we know, probably prefer a player with term as opposed to a rental and a top six forward. That's a fit. He used to play in New York. He was a cap casualty three seasons ago, but maybe he fits now and has the term. The Islanders are another team that could use a bit more punch. And I don't think that Lou Lamoriello is willing to close the door on this season yet. And then that leaves the Golden Knights, which, by the way, last summer acquired another Russian winger from the St. Louis Blues in Barbashev, who helped them go to and win their first Stanley Cup. So those are the six teams that I have in the mix. I think maybe an outside chance, someone like Colorado, because he does have term, but with Landeskog potentially coming back and Nichushkin on his way back, I think the focus is on center. And I just think this guy would be a phenomenal pickup for anyone that's interested.
Yeah, the idea of, you know, let's say Gensel costs you two A assets and Buchnevich maybe costs you two A assets and a B asset. Go get the guy who's going to help you for another playoff run would be my thinking if I was a GM. But obviously that cap hit could be a bit of a sticking point, a bit harder to get the retention, especially from a third party when there's that extra year of term on the deal. Frank, before we get to our pal James Nichols out in New Jersey, I want to talk about another story that broke yesterday out in Seattle. Dave Hakstol saying Alex Wennberg was held out of the lineup for trade related reasons. He is a pending UFA. He's got the AAV around $4.5 million. What do you make of Wennberg? Obviously looking like he's going to be moved ahead of Friday. What are you hearing about the Kraken centerman?
Well, I think the Kraken knew enough now to know that among the I think three teams that are in the mix, maybe more, that they knew enough that he's going to be on the move, and you know, not imminent that to the point where he was going to be traded on Monday, but certainly a lot closer or further down the track than they are with some other players. Jordan Eberle, for instance, I think the Kraken are still certainly trying to get a contract extension done, and that part hasn't gotten over the finish line, but of course he remains in the lineup. So with Wennberg, who are those three or four teams? I think the New York Rangers are one. They've kept tabs on him. The Colorado Avalanche, we just talked about their need for a center, and he checks the box in Colorado because they've really placed a significant value on high IQ players. And Wennberg is that. Remember they added Arturi Lehkonen a couple deadlines ago. It's similar mold, not same player, but certainly a really smart player to add to your team. And he's been pretty consistent as well. I would include the Boston Bruins there. There was certainly an increased or heightened attention or awareness to their center position when Pavel Zacha went down, but he did play in last night's game. And then the wild card team for me would be the Florida Panthers. He had been in Florida previously before he left to go to Seattle to sign as a free agent. And I think Florida, you know, could potentially, Wennberg might be another addition to that center core, which is already pretty strong.
Eberle, Wennberg, the two big UFA forwards on this Kraken roster, Thomas Tatar, Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, also pending UFAs, and just one pending UFA on the blue line in Justin Schultz. Are the Kraken, do you think they're pretty set in their plan as being maybe just like a soft seller, Frank, or do you think something could change over the next 48 hours?
Soft seller, I think, would be a great way to put it, which is definitely different than a flaccid seller. So that's good. Nice work.
Thanks, Frank. All right, let's move along. Let's dig back into that situation out in New Jersey and get to today's edition of the All 32 with James Nichols. The All 32 is delivered by DoorDash. For a limited time, our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. James Nichols from New Jersey Hockey Now swinging by the show once again. Always a pleasure to have you on, James, and always a pleasure to have you breaking down some big news. Lindy Ruff out as coach of the New Jersey Devils, and I'll start you with this. How much of the struggles this season truly hang over Lindy Ruff, and how much of it is on, call him outside?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think more recently, obviously, the team has been struggling to go a little bit. Perhaps, you know, they've been a little bit unmotivated. But I think looking at the larger picture here, I think Lindy Ruff is a little bit of a sacrificial lamb here. I think, you know, from the get-go, the team has been a little bit flawed constructionally. You lose almost 1,000 games on the blue line between Damon Severson and Ryan Graves. And not to say that they're, you know, doing wondrous things with the teams they're on now, but something about them in this system worked. And, you know, you lose a bunch of other veteran forwards up front, Miles Wood, Thomas Tatar. So I think there was definitely a little bit of a construction issue here, especially with the goaltending. You know, they didn't improve there. They got a bit of a weaker blue line. They have two rookies here, who are playing on a regular basis. Certainly, Lindy Ruff wasn't motivating this team the way they needed to be, but I do think that there was certainly flaws in the construction as well.
Interesting, James. It's such a fascinating question to pinpoint because there have been a lot of changes and potentially still more to come. I know semantics is one of the things that kind of drives me crazy when we get to this deadline, but you hear Tom Fitzgerald say today, I'm not shopping Tyler Toffoli, but also acknowledge that, you know, they're not really close on a contract extension. If you had to pick one or the other, stay or go, where does Tyler Toffoli end up on Saturday?
Yeah, it's really tough, right? Like you said, semantics here. Look, I've always kind of been of the belief that he's going to stay. Now, what he's going to stay for is a tough question because, you know, you look at his number, he's a little older now. He's going on 32 years old. How long do you want to give a guy like that? In the same breath, I say that tongue in cheek because I feel like there is a little bit of veteran leadership lacking in this room. So maybe perhaps you do want a guy like him sticking around a little bit longer. So my gut says that he stays. My gut says that he does figure out some sort of contract that both sides do like. He wants to stay. Tom Fitzgerald wants him to stay. I know that they like him on Jack Hughes's wing. I'm not actually sure if Travis Green had put him there this morning. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I do know that they like the fit. And, you know, again, he's been there. He's done that. He's been to so many, you know, he's been to Stanley Cups. He's won Stanley Cups. He has plenty of playoff experience. And, you know, a little bit of that veteran presence is lacking here, and that's what they need. So it wouldn't surprise me if he stayed.
Let's circle back to the goaltending real quick. We know that's been an issue in New Jersey, and we keep hearing the talk about them and Jacob Markstrom and all the interest there. When it comes to acquiring a goalie potentially ahead of Friday, is it Markstrom or bust, or do you think there's an appetite for Tom Fitzgerald if he can't get the guy out of Calgary, if maybe he checks down somewhere else?
Yeah, I think it is. I think they have their sights set on Markstrom. You know, they're willing to wait to do that until the summer. And if anything happens here, you know, if they don't get Markstrom by March 8th, perhaps they just strengthen the blue line and they try to go back to the mold that they had last season, right? That's what got them to the playoffs. That's what got them to pass the first round against the New York Rangers, was having a stronger blue line and Vanacek and Schmid just making those saves that they needed to make. This season has not been that way. You know, the blue line has been a bit weaker. There's been a lot of high danger chances given up by the Devils for other teams. And you know, the goaltending has certainly been exposed. If they can maybe lock down a couple of defensemen at some point before March 8th and help out strengthen the defense of this team. And you know, maybe even a little bit up front too. You know, they lose a couple of key defenders up front in, you know, guys like Miles Wood and Tatar and you know, even Michael McLeod, who's not here anymore. You know, I do wonder if they would look at something like that just to strengthen the overall defense of this team and help the goaltenders take less shots and take less high danger chances.
Tyler Toffoli today with Nico Hischier and Timo Meier, according to Lines of Practice, which you can now see at dailyfaceoff.com. So always interesting. But when it comes to Simone Nemitz, who is apparently going to be a healthy scratch tonight, accountability was one of the big buzzwords today, James. Misplaced in terms of accountability with Nemitz. Why do you think he's a healthy scratch tonight?
Well, I asked Travis about this and he said straight up, he's like, look, I had a really good conversation with Simone and basically he told him that I believe your game has dipped in the last three weeks or so. You're not really skating with that same pop. You're not really skating with that same fire. And your decision-making hasn't been as crisp as it was when you first came up. So I think he's, you know, used that word accountability a couple of times, you know, in the short 15 minutes that we spoke to him. But it really seems like, you know, he said he's not going to make a ton of changes here, but at least one at a time, he's going to hold some of these guys accountable and say, look, I need you to be a little bit better. Take a look from up top tonight, see what, you know, maybe you could do better, you know, when we come back on Thursday and maybe we'll get you back in here. But he's certainly trying to at least start with the young guys and saying, like, here's what you need to improve, and you're going to be held accountable for that.
The new coach bump has worked for a handful of teams already this season. New Jersey is going to need it to kick in quick if they want to get back in the playoff mix. James Nichols from New Jersey Hockey. Now you can find him on Twitter at James Nichols NHL. Appreciate your time, man. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Daily face-off inbox question time, #AskDFO. Frank, it's brought to you by our friends at Tourism Jasper. Spring cabins opening up right away, but the weather's still pretty chilly out in Alberta. If you want to take advantage of some spring skiing, Marmot Basin is the place to do it. Frank, last night we got the assist of the year from Alexander Barkov coming in on the New York Rangers and batting the puck around and eventually setting things up for a goal. It was an absolute beauty. Frank, one word to describe this pass from Alexander Barkov.
Sublime. I would say this reverse angle is so beautiful. Yeah. Just the patience under pressure of everything happening at full speed. It's not just awareness. It's awareness of where K'Andre Miller is, aware of Sam Reinhart and maybe one of the easiest goals he'll ever score. There's so much about it that just screams Sasha that's kind of the other word I was thinking of.
I'll go hyphenated word, Frank, because I'm the host. I can do whatever I want. I'll say multi-sport. Alexander Barkov is a big, big tennis player. Doesn't it kind of look here like he's just, you know, batting a little tennis ball up and down with his stick? A beautiful goal from Barkov. Since we're on the topic of the Panthers, any update on their plans? What you think they could get up to in the next couple of days here?
So I framed it on the DFO rundown yesterday as shopping at Gucci with a Walmart wallet. And that's basically where they're at. They're really interested in being aggressive to try and improve this team, but they've got limited assets. I think could potentially be willing to part with one of the or two of the UFAs on their roster if the right deal materialized. No, I'm not talking about Reinhart, but they're in an intriguing spot where I think this team, to me, they're the team to beat in the East, and they could certainly do some damage without making major moves, but I think they want to try and do whatever they can between now and then to really give themselves every opportunity to do so.
We got time for a couple from the YouTube chat. G Sip is in and says, does the Larkin injury affect Steve Yzerman's strategy or expectations heading into the deadline?
I don't think so. Approximately 2 weeks, could be a shade less than that on Larkin. And I think that they're in a spot where they've played well enough as a bona fide, you know, playoff team. And I think they're in a spot where they can really be an intriguing first round matchup. I understand where everyone has pegged the chances of which team comes out of the East, and not saying that the Red Wings are likely by any stretch, but I wouldn't put a deeper playoff run past Detroit.
Yeah, that team just keeps on looking better and better. Let's get to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Betano, the 2023 EGR brand of the year for top sportsbook operator. The game starts now at betano.ca. I got three plays for tonight. Busy day in the NHL, starting with a shot prop parlay. Jack Roslovic came through for me yesterday. Jake Neighbors didn't, so I missed on it. But I'm going right back to Roslovic, who's now hit this number in 10 straight games. It's been six straight games where he's had three or more shots. Playing it with Matias Maccelli out in Arizona. He's hit this mark in four of his last five games. Play those two together. It's a rather nice plus 148. I'm also taking the Chicago Blackhawks today, Frank. I don't know why I feel like trusting the Blackhawks with my hard-earned money. But here's the thing. The Coyotes, even
though they watch last night's game?
The Coyotes, even though they've won back-to-back games, Frank, they only have two wins in their last 10. I think this should be, with the way the Yotes have played over the last 6 weeks, this should be closer to a pick'em. Give me plus 210 on a team to randomly win a hockey game. I honestly think this one's closer to a coin flip. You think I'm crazy?
I think for a team that lost five Cobb last night, and yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I would not be placing any of my hard-earned money on the Blackhawks at any point in time.
Well, then we shall see. I'm also rolling with the over between Edmonton and Boston. They met in Edmonton about, what, 10 days ago, and the over absolutely got hammered. So why not? You're going to give me plus 102 over 6.5 between the Oilers and Bruins. I am all over it. So those are my three plays, one that Frank does not like, but we shall see. Let's wrap up the show with a little bit of garbage time. Frank, brought to you by Wendy's in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. You can sign up today at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. Frank, are you still kicking? Do you like anything here?
I am so mad at myself. I forgot to put in a play yesterday for the first time all season long. Leave it to deadline week. Everything going on just simply slipped my mind. So I'm out this week and I am embarrassed.
Yeah, I missed. I had Connor Bedard to go over 3.5 shots, as did 32% of the field. So a whole bunch of people are already out after day one. I don't even know. Don't listen to my advice. Just get this off the screen, Gavin. I don't want to see it. Garbage time, Frank. Cale Makar. It's milestone Makar. And I mean, he's still so early in his NHL career, but it's mind-blowing when you see stuff like this. He's the franchise leader in a whole bunch of defensive categories. It's bananas what Makar is continuing to do.
Points, goals, and assists. And Cale Makar has only played 296 career games. We were talking on Morning Cup of Hockey today with Johnny Lazarus about the idea of trading Kaapo Kakko. And he's like, well, you know, he's still such a young player. I'm like, he's played 280 games in the league. Like, I don't think that counts as young anymore. And Cale Makar, look at this, just franchise records already now in his fifth season with the Avs. For my money, I think he's right now the second best defenseman. This is such a bold claim. Second best defenseman in NHL history. I think when it's all said and done, Bobby Orr is going to be the only defenseman ahead of him. And I think that Cale Makar has the ability to give Bobby Orr a run for the money. And don't just take it from me. Wayne Gretzky said this the other day, that he thinks that Cale Makar is the second best defenseman. He's doing things that we haven't seen since Bobby Orr. So that's some ridiculous company.
Well, okay. That, I love that you said that, because my next question to you, when you look at the Cup, the Norris, the Conn Smythe, everything he's done, All-Star game after All-Star game, Calder Trophy, he's won a World Junior gold as well. Has there ever been a player who cemented themselves as a first ballot Hall of Famer quicker than this?
Connor McDavid?
Like, maybe, but I still think if after 200 and some games, if McDavid would have, again, just weird hypothetical now, like blown out his knee, it would have been like, he never won. He was good for those 200 games, but whatever. Like, if Cale Makar stopped playing right now for whatever reason, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer still.
Oh, agree. And I would say that we actually, that's a great segue to Paul Peduti, who's writing a new story on dailyfaceoff.com. I don't know if it drops today or tomorrow, but he says right now already, if Leon Draisaitl never played another game, he is also a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely love when we get a Paul Peduti story up at dailyfaceoff.com. Look forward to that. Look forward to all the continuing deadline coverage as well. Creeping closer and closer to the big day on Friday. We will be live 11 a.m. Eastern time on Friday and rolling right up until after the deadline. We will go until the trades stop coming in. It's going to be a great day with Frank, myself, Carter Hutton, Colby Cohen, Matt Larkin, and a whole bunch of other guests joining us on the program. You won't want to miss it, so make sure you hit the subscribe button, and we'll chat with you again tomorrow at noon Eastern time.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.